hospital executive to do the work and make the change that has to occur at ground level within the hospital. Organizational structures and options for you. The first is you could maintain the status quo from an organizational structure perspective. This would keep the vice president for health affairs model. It requires a matrix for the academic piece to the provost. And I'm going to go through them quickly, define them, and then come back to the pros and cons. The second major option would be to more fully integrate the academic accountability into that vice president for health affairs role. So keep a centralized, unified structure, but essentially it would require creating a health sciences provost. The third would be to go back to a model that you had a few years back, which is to have the health system still led by a single leader and organize the health sciences colleges under that leader, but have that entire enterprise accountable to the chancellor. So that would restore, in a sense, the primacy of the campus and the alignment academically to the chancellor. And then the fourth model, which we would put out there, and probably we'll come back to this, not strongly recommend, would be to have the dean of the College of Medicine serve in the health system leadership role, essentially the model at Penn that Dr. Rubenstein discussed. You have the largest medical school in the country. There is an enormous amount of work associated with that, and it creates a lot of tension between health sciences colleges to do that. But we'll come back to that in the pros and cons. So just to briefly go through, and this is not an exhaustive list. In terms of maintaining the status quo, the pro is it requires the least organizational change. But it would require you to still address the organizational ambiguities that have not been really resolved over the past few years. The cons and challenges of this is you have a dysfunctional system right now. Unless all the other issues are addressed, you could still propagate the dysfunctional system. It essentially bifurcates the campus a little bit with quite a bit of accountability directly to the president. And it doesn't clearly establish a unifying point of accountability for clinical care. The middle two are the ones that are probably most viable. Integrating everything under the vice president for health affairs aligns everything. The MSPs, the faculty practice plans, can still be accountable to the dean, the deans of the respective colleges, and then they have an accountability model to that VPHA. It maintains the nimble decision making of a single point of contact, but what it does is it diminishes the scope and breadth of the relationship with this campus. If we go to a vice chancellor for health affairs model, it aligns things nicely at the campus level. It aligns the academics and a health system leader, but it requires extraordinary presence on the part of the chancellor to not impede the ability of a health system to run effectively. So there's a tension intrinsic in that non-healthcare versus healthcare campus. And then finally, the VPHA dean model is a model that can work. It can create tension, however, between the College of Medicine and the other health sciences colleges. And some of that is perception, some of that is reality. We would still recognize that Dean Azar has the largest medical school in the country to run and is in the midst of really good transformative change in the way that school is working from both a research and a clinical leadership perspective. So as you start thinking about what are the implications of these different options, there are a variety of dimensions to be thinking about. There's a financial risk option. There are leadership alignment issues. There's academic funds flow, impact on